You know, if you're 22 and you're starting your first startup job, there's a good chance that you've never really had to do a lot of emailing in your life. And you had your smartphone, you've been doing iMessage, and you've been doing WhatsApp, and suddenly you have to go and you have to choose reply or reply all. And you have this interface that feels like it's from the 1970s. And this is like weird and different. And so for those folks, we can go to them and say, hey, we're going to give you a thing that like really looks and feels much more like the thing that you're used to. Wouldn't you rather have a thing that kind of feels more like a messenger?
Maybe the hardest thing for startups to do right now is to hire great developers. They're the most in-demand resource in the world right now, which is why Lemon.io has the answer, with vetted software engineers who can help you build product immediately. So stop burning money and hire devs smarter at Lemon.io. Andrew, it is fantastic to have you on the show. You are building Shortwave, a new take on email. So I guess to start, why email?
That is a great question. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. This is usually the first question that people ask me, because before this, I had another startup that was what sounded like much more modern advanced tech. We were doing like real-time data sync and stuff for mobile and application development and developer stuff. And it does seem like I've taken like a time machine back to the 1970s now to work on email. And I know it comes off a little bit odd, but there's a reason for this. And what it comes down to is, after I left Google in 2017, took a couple of years off, and in early 2019, I was kind of ready to get back into the startup world. I had some ideas in my head, and there was a particular problem in the world that was starting to bother me in the technology space, and that was the increasing centralization of communication online to a small number of these online services. So you had, you know, lots of things going through WhatsApp and WeChat and Messenger and Telegram. And the particular moment that got me kind of riled up was in Hong Kong, where the Chinese government was using WeChat as a means of control and suppression for the folks there. And if you said something they didn't like in WeChat, maybe your message didn't arrive, or maybe somebody showed up at your house. And I thought to myself, you know, this isn't so good, but at least it's not happening in other parts of the world. And then I started to pay a little bit more attention. I realized, you know what, actually, this sort of thing is happening in other parts of the world. And I thought, well, this isn't great, but at least there's email, right? If I don't necessarily trust my message going through WeChat or Facebook or whatever, I can always fall back to email. And then Gmail killed off Google Inbox. And I said, well, crap, right? Like if the dominant email service in the world with infinite resources is not willing to continue to invest and make like a bright new future for email, that's not a great sign. So I started thinking, you know, maybe this is something I should work on. And I've always had a passion for communication products. Like Firebase actually initially started as a chat product, and we pivoted into developer products like long ago. So this in some ways feels like coming back home. And I went and I pitched some of my friends from Firebase, and I said, hey, I think we should kind of pick up the torch from where Google dropped it here. We should like try to figure out what the future of online communication should be. And I think the area I was especially inspired was like, how do we bring like the beautiful UX of these messaging apps? Like the reason people love using Messenger and WhatsApp and WeChat is it's a really nice experience. Like how do we bring that together with the cool federated interoperable infrastructure that email gives you that allows you to have this like freedom of expression online? So that was kind of the spark that got all this going. That was 2019. We kicked the company off in 2020.
So Firebase was that a product built inside Google or a company that you built and then Google acquired?
Yeah, it was a startup that was a pivot. So I worked with a guy named James Tamplin for several years. Starting in 2008, he and I worked together on a variety of startups that kind of fell flat in their face. And in the summer of 2011, we figured out that this chat product that we had built that was actually kind of doing okay as a business was called Envolve. We figured out that this chat product was built on top of some infrastructure that might actually be really useful for folks. And so we talked to a bunch of our big customers and said, hey, what if we just gave you an API to talk directly to this infrastructure and do your own sync and build your own UIs on top of it? And, you know, what do you think? And they were really excited about that. And so that was the beginning of the Firebase database, which was the first Firebase product. And then over the course of the next 3 years, we built out the database, we built out an auth service, built out a hosting platform, and then we were acquired by Google in 2014. And then post Google acquisition, it grew from just those kind of three core products into today. It's, I don't even know, like 20 products, and there's like hundreds of people working on it. And so it, at this point, it's Google's flagship mobile development product and or a platform, I guess, because it has all these products in it. And actually, they just came out with the Stack Overflow annual developer survey. I don't know if this is something you look at, but they poll a whole bunch of developers every year on the type of tools that they like to use and the type of databases and the platforms. And Firebase is the number four most popular platform in the world among developers. So it's AWS and then Azure and then Google Cloud and then Firebase and then Heroku. So it's still doing quite well. Hopefully a shortwave can be even bigger.
So you were in chat way back in 2014 when you started Firebase before it became a developer product. And then while you were working on this dev tool at Google, which exploded, Slack came out and came around, pivoted from a gaming company into chat as opposed from chat into development. And they have obviously transformed corporate communications. And now you're coming back to chat again, or at least communications. So I guess, what's the unique take that you have here at Shortwave? Like, what is the design that's making Shortwave different from email as it exists today?
I think you kind of hit it on the head with Slack in some ways. Like, Slack is a beautiful product. It has a great UX. It works really well for team communication. The problem with Gmail is it's just not as nice of an experience. Like, don't you wish you could have a Slack-like experience with the folks that you email with? And for teams, they've already made that switch. They've said, hey, if my teammate is actually on Slack, I'm not going to send them an email. I'm going to go send them a Slack. But let's say you're a founder and you want to talk to your investors. You want to talk to customers. You want to talk to the guy running the podcast. You want to talk to people that you might be recruiting. You want to talk to your vendors. Like, it's not practical to get all of these people to come into your Slack workspace. And you fall back to email because that's the universal standard. Everyone talks over email. And as soon as you do that, you end up in this interface where it's not a conversational like chat like view. You have individual email messages that are sort of standalone, or you have a very kind of cluttered UI. It's very slow. It's not very good for short messages. You don't have some of the real-time features like the typing indicators and the emoji reactions. The mobile app isn't very good. And so you kind of like jump back in time when you have to switch from talking to your team to talking to anyone outside. Our revelation here is there's no technical reason this has to be this way. Like, we can give you an app that gives you like a chat-like conversational UI for talking with anyone, not just the people who happen to be in your workspace.
So I'm on an email thread. We're both on an email thread in Shortwave. I will say it's incredibly easy to use and start. And it's incredibly quick to just add your Gmail to it and get started. But it sounds like if we were both on Shortwave, we had a conversation going, you could send me an email, I could reply, I could see when you're typing, I can like respond with emojis. It's chat. It's like Slack chat in email.
Yeah, although I think a lot of the stuff you mentioned is sort of just sugar on top. Like, yeah, we have the emoji reactions and we have the typing indicators and stuff like that. But the stuff that really makes the conversational interface useful is much more basic stuff, like the way scrolling works. So in a channel in Slack, you can have a very, very long conversation with hundreds of messages. And when a new person joins that channel, they don't have to start from the beginning and like scroll all the way down and read everything all the way to the bottom. But email threads often work that way, where you open a thread, and even if you've already read the first 50 messages, you have to kind of skim by them because they're like collapsed, and you have to get all the way down to the bottom of that. And what chat does is says, hey, we're going to just like put like a line that says new, and we're like going to auto-scroll you to the bottom of this thing, and we're going to show you just the new stuff that you care about. And so this is the type of thing, this is actually something we're working on right now, is like trying to use scrolling as a means for jumping you to just the stuff you care about and helping you get caught up quickly on threads. But this is something that doesn't rely on any like real-time stuff. It doesn't rely on both people. It's simply like an improvement to the UI that makes things easier. I'll give you another example. In chat, when you want to send a message, you always just put your cursor in like an input at the bottom of the page, and that input stays there all the time, regardless of whether you scroll up and down the thread. And this is really nice if you want to reference the reference earlier parts of the thread. Like you want to like reread what people wrote, or maybe you want to quote, like you want to copy some stuff and like reply to it. It's a really nice interface. In email, if you want to reference earlier stuff in the thread and you want to quote stuff, you have a lot of like scrolling up and down. You'll scroll up, you'll grab a thing, you'll scroll back down, you'll scroll back up, you'll read a thing, you'll scroll back down. And it's kind of a hassle. So the fact that in chat they figure out that like a fixed position reply input that like just like stays visible on the screen all the time is really useful is another thing that we can like just add sort of naturally to your interface. So I think a lot of the really core innovations in chat-like interfaces are things that are completely agnostic to kind of some of the real-time stuff you happen to get if both people are in shortwave. And they're more just like UI behaviors. And like I mentioned, I think some of those things are visible in the product now and some of those are coming soon.
What's the go-to-market look like? Everyone has Gmail as email. Most people, I think, probably have Gmail. Gmail has like a billion plus users in the world. How do you get this in front of people and how do you get people using it?
It's more than a billion. I think it's like 2.5, something like that last time they talked about it. the fact that we plug into your Gmail is really helpful from a go-to-market standpoint because, you know, pick another email provider like Hey. If you're Hey and you want somebody to use your product, they actually have to go and they have to change their DNS settings over and point at their servers instead. And like they might have email in their old system that they can't like easily import into the new system. And it requires the whole organization to switch. So if you're a company, you already have like 30 people on Google Workspace and you want to switch to Hey, like that's a whole ordeal. But the nice thing about our approach is we're just a client that plugs into your existing Gmail account and we auto sync all your data. So all you do, you sign in with your Gmail account and all your same threads are there, all your same settings, your aliases and your signatures and stuff, that's all imported. All your filters work. So from your standpoint, it's just like you went to a different URL and boom, your inbox looks different. Or you download a different mobile app and boom, like it's a different looking mobile app. Beyond that is like, as far as how we get in front of people, I think right now the vast majority of the folks who know about us is just through press. And most of that wasn't really planned. So we had one TechCrunch article, which I had pitched ahead of time. And they really chose to kind of focus on the inbox angle because a lot of the kind of UI constructs we have in our inbox are very reminiscent of the Google Inbox product that we liked. And they kind of latched onto that, and a whole bunch of other press covered us. We got in the Verge and Gizmodo and Ars Technica and a bunch of other folks. And so I think that and like the follow up kind of wave of folks coming has been really the vast majority of people that have found the product so far. Right now, we're very much in the phase of trying to make sure that those users are as happy as we can possibly make them. And we've learned a ton, and we're hard at work fixing bugs, adding features, trying to tweak things, make them more intuitive. And what the next phase of growth is, we'll see. But we have plenty of feedback to process already.
Why now for shortwave? Like, why hasn't this been done before? And why is now the time to build this? I feel like email is constantly being reinvented. People are trying. You mentioned, Hey, Superhuman is one that's a little bit more similar to yours, built on top of Gmail, but they're like, it's a $25 subscription every month. So I guess my question is, why hasn't this been done before? Why now for shortwave? And I guess what differentiates you?
I think there's a kind of a couple things coming together to make this the right time to do this. The first is Gmail's just getting kind of old. Don't get me wrong. Gmail's a great product, but if you look at Gmail from 2004 and Gmail from today, there's a lot of similarities, right? They've added a bunch of features and things more powerful, but like the kind of core experience of like how I view that list of threads and how I navigate around is like pretty much the same. And in the meantime, you know, mobile phones came out, social networks came out, messengers got big. Like we've learned so much about how humans want to communicate online. And yet Gmail is still kind of stuck in this 2004 mode. And so I think that is becoming obvious. And this is why you have the Superhumans and the Hays and all these other folk kind of coming out, because Gmail is so far behind. The other big thing that's happening is we have had enough people grow up smartphone first at this point that normal is no longer email. I think, you know, I talked to a fair amount of investors who maybe are on the older side, and they think of it as like, the normal interface is the email interface, and like the newfangled thing is chat. And I think that's kind of being flipped in its head, where, you know, if you're 22 and you're starting your first startup job, there's a good chance that you've never really had to do a lot of emailing in your life. And you had your smartphone, you've been doing iMessage and you've been doing WhatsApp. And suddenly you have to go and you have to choose reply or reply all. And you have this interface that feels like it's from the 1970s. And this is like weird and different. And so for those folks, we can go to them and say, hey, we're going to give you a thing that like really looks and feels much more like the thing that you're used to. Wouldn't you rather have a thing that kind of feels more like a messenger? The other question I think you asked was around, you know, why hasn't this been done before? And in addition to the timing issue, I think the other thing is it's just really hard to build like a base email client. So there are, you know, as much crap as I just gave Gmail, Gmail has a ton of features and it's a pretty good product and it's real reliable and it works all over the world. And just getting a product that has the base level of, we can display all your email correctly. We can store like the huge volume of email that typical users get. We can search all of it really fast. Is actually pretty hard. And this is why it took us, and we're a pretty well-funded team. We're a senior team. And it took us 2 years to get from start to like just the launch of an MVP. And that is something I think is very much out of reach for a lot of founders. Like, I don't think I could have done this the first time around. I think it took, for me, being a second-time founder, being able to be extended like a little more trust when it came to fundraising, when it came to employees, where we said, hey, we're going to go and just do this much bigger kind of more risky project that takes a lot longer before we see the results of what we're doing, and just do that investment up front.
So search is an obvious example of where Google would thrive, but why else is this a hard technical problem?
Something that people maybe underestimate is just how much data is in a typical email mailbox. So we have users with multiple millions of messages in their email inboxes. And each one of those messages has the actual text you see, but often a lot of other data too. There's header information, there's attachments that you have to like store and index. There's a ton of metadata around all of this stuff. So you have to store and process a very large amount of information. And you have to do it in such a way where it doesn't get in the way of the user. So as an example, on the mobile app, the user wants to be able to open their mobile app and they want to be able to immediately see their inbox. They want to search and they want to have the search be instant. They want to be able to scroll through things and have an infinite scroll like really nicely. And in the meanwhile, there's tens of gigabytes that you are very carefully like streaming down and syncing with the mobile device to give the user the illusion that all the data is like there instantly accessible for them when they need it. And that illusion is very difficult to create. It's also, I think, one of the reasons why our team is very well suited to this problem, because that problem of how do I make it appear like all my data is on my phone all the time, even though it's not, is very similar to the problem that the real-time database and Cloud Firestore, like the products that we worked on previously at Firebase, were trying to solve. And we have some of the same people here. So it's a problem that we're very well suited to on the technical side.
So you mentioned that you're a pretty well-funded team. I'm not sure if you've raised yet or if you've shared any of that yet, but have you raised a VC round yet? And how has that kind of came together, the pitch that you've given VCs on, you know, the next generation of email?
So we actually raised right after the company started. And I think this is something that is a luxury of having done this successfully before and being extended a bit more trust than we otherwise might have. But we raised a $9 million Series A in April of 2020, right as COVID was kicking off, right as the market was kind of tanking because of that, we did our fundraise. So kind of crazy timing. But it was led by a combination of Lightspeed Venture Partners and Union Square Ventures, with some other folks participating as well. And Union Square is one that we worked with for Firebase. So they split the round with Flybridge when we did Firebase. And we know the partners there really well. We like working with them. And then Lightspeed had a partner there who was one of the early folks at Slack and understood product and growth there. We found that expertise like really interesting. And so that's why we chose those investors. And we chose the $9 million because we knew this was going to be a big, long project. And we still have most of that in the bank. Like we've been working for over 2 years. It's going to be a while longer before we get to the milestones that we want to get to raise the next round. And we need the time to do it.
Lemon.io is an awesome new developer recruiting tool that makes it easier than ever to hire great talent. Every software company needs killer developers, but hiring technical talent is hard, and the costs of getting it wrong are huge. Lemon.io has handpicked developers that can start in less than 48 hours. And if you check it out today, fans of Just Raise get 15% off for the first 4 weeks of work. Check it out at lemon.io. What's top of mind for you right now? What has to go right over the next 3 months for Shortwave to really take off?
We got to nail triage.
Triage?
Yeah, triage. So one of the really core bets that we're making is for the type of user that wants to use our product. And we're really focused on like people who live in email for their business, who get a ton of email and have to like get through it. And the way to deal with a huge amount of email is to review all of it first before you start any deep work. Like if you do things one at a time, there's a good chance that like you'll be working on something that's not important and there's something more important like sitting farther down. So we encourage people to like go through, look at all of your email first, figure out what matters and handle that. And we've built a tool to make that really easy. And this is why we have this emphasis on these triage actions. Like every email has the three buttons. You have the pin, you have the snooze, and you have the done. Pin says, this is important, I need to do this soon. Snooze says, give this to me later, I don't want to think about it right now. And done says, nothing to do here. And so we want people to go through, if they have to act on it, pin it. If they want to deal with it later, snooze it. And if they don't have to do anything, mark it as done. They want them to go through everything and then start work. And that general flow is working really well for most part, people. But there's a lot more we would like to do here. So for starters, we would like to make it easier for people to act on groups of emails more quickly. So for example, we have this concept of bundles, but it's often hard for you to like actually archive an entire bundle, which could be a big time saver. So we're trying to think harder about like, how do we present the email in your inbox in a way that makes it easier for you to like take action in bulk? So like mark entire groups of emails done. We're also trying to think about, after you've gone through that initial scan, how can we help you better organize your email to start your day? So you might have pinned 12 things. How do we help you figure out which one I do first and which one I do second? And maybe there's two or three things that are related and you want to process those together. How do we help you do that? And we have some features here already, which you might have seen. So if you like drag emails around the inbox, you can actually reorder them. You can stack them on top of each other. You can add notes to them. But there's a lot more we want to do to try to give you kind of the full to-do list functionality in your inbox so that you can triage your email, you can get it organized, and then you can start your work and like do the deep focus work you need to when replying to the stuff.
When you said triage, I should have guessed that given it's an email client.
A lot of people don't know the word, actually. When I say this, they think of a hospital and they're like, oh, triage, you know, sounds like blood.
That's what I thought of too.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily the connotation we want to bring up here. So maybe we need another name. We've been thinking maybe you call it like reviewing your emails or something. But it is fundamental, like triage, where you want to figure out what needs to be handled right now and like what can we maybe leave until later.
What metrics do you track as a founder right now? So you just launched, the product is out there in the wild. What are the most important metrics for you?
The North Star metric for us is what we call highly active senders. So it is people who send an email through a product at least 4 days a week. And this is really because we are like our focus target customer is that professional, especially like, you know, founders, startup employees, like IT folks who really live and breathe in the email. They depend on it for their business and they are processing a lot of email. And those people tend to send a lot of emails, send them regularly, send them on long threads. So the highly active senders is the folks that like we're most focused on supporting. Beyond that, we're looking for kind of usage of the various different aspects of the app, like how many people are triaging email effectively, how many people are searching effectively, to some extent, how many people are using some of like the chat-like features that we have, and then obviously just like active users.
What's the roadmap look like over the long term?
The next year for us is really very much focused on building out the feature set for some of those like professionals that have heavy email load and really need like a professional grade product. Some of the triage features that we would like, we want to have more to help them just like efficiently get through their inbox and find out what they need to handle. We have some of the to-do like features that we would like. We would like to do more, including helping you manage to-dos that maybe maybe aren't emails per se. So I'll give you an example here. Ton of people that use our product email themselves. I'll bet you email yourself. I email myself all the time. And this is surprisingly common. This is more common than pretty much any behavior that we've found like in email users. Like people email themselves all the time. And we think this is really people crying out for help and saying, hey, we need some to-do list functionality built into my email so that, you know, anytime, you know, in the real world, you might put a sticky on your monitor to remind yourself to, I don't know, call Joe. And we want to make that sort of integrated feature. So we're looking at how can we give you like a better personal to-do list in your email. We're also going to be looking at how do we really unlock the value of a chat-like UI for folks, especially folks that maybe aren't using it in concert with other ShortWave users. So the vast majority of our users, they never interact with other ShortWave users. They're not using it for a team. They're using it with their, with, you know, they're the only person in the company. They're using it to talk to all the people they normally talk to. And for them, there's actually still a ton of value we can unlock with just like a better kind of more modern UI with the fixed position reply input, the nicer like reference and quoting, the scrolling behavior that works better, the less cluttered UI. And we want to double down there and really like unlock some of that value. The other areas we're focusing are really just kind of quality, like build quality issues of how can we make this faster? How can we make this work better on more platforms? How can we just like generally make this more reliable, make it work offline, things like that. The one big thing I should mention too is Android. We have a pretty subpar Android experience right now. We know that. We're going to fix it. Stay tuned.
You mentioned that most people are single users and they're not sharing it with their team or they're not emailing other people on ShortWave. That feels connected to this whole idea of product-led growth. Like you think about Zoom or Calendly, and every time you're using that, you're inherently sending it to someone else who could use it, right? Like if you invite someone to a Zoom, they have now become a user of Zoom, and that's a fantastic way to grow really capital efficiently. Have you thought about how to use the nature of email that you're, you know, sending via ShortWave as a way to like loop in other users or new users?
We have. I think generally the most important thing for us is making sure that the user who's sending that email feels like we are doing the best thing for them, right? They're our customer. They're the ones who pay us. And like, we never want to feel like we're spamming anyone or making anyone spam their friends or anything like that. So we're very careful to make sure that the sender is in control and the sender feels like we are always doing right by them. We do see some opportunity to add some growth elements. One of those is team features. So today, vast majority of people, they're not using with their teammates. But there is some really cool stuff you can do with your teammates. And there's a lot more stuff we would like to do in the future here. So like today we have this concept of workspaces and channels that you can check out if you want, which kind of gives you a way internally to share emails and like have conversations with your team. I think another area we're looking at is with allowing you to compose more interesting content than you might be able to do in Gmail. So for example, like what if we integrated, say, with your Asana, your Figma, and allowed you to, with a couple of keyboard strokes, like insert content from these other integrations and like send emails that like had SaaS information. And I think this is something a lot of our users, they use Asana, Figma, GitHub, these other tools. Like how could we allow you to like pull in and integrate that data and share it with other people in a way that other people get that email and they're like, how did you compose that email? Like this email is awesome. It has all this extra information. This must've been a lot of work. And they say, no, you got to use ShortWave. It does this for you. So that's another area we're looking at.
That's pretty cool. So it's kind of like Notion in that I love Notion. It's where I draft all my newsletters and stuff like that. It's just a super powerful, I guess, text editor, right? Like everything from the quotes and the way it styles them to emojis and stuff like that. It's just super clean, which is why startups use it for like hiring pages and that kind of thing. But if you could build that into email with Slack-like features for chat and then the email client as well, it's a really interesting combination of all three from a design perspective.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I've mentioned Inbox and Messengers, but Notion's actually been a big inspiration for us as well. If you look at our editor, we also do like the markdown keyboard shortcuts. So if you do like, you know, pound sign space, it'll turn into a header. If you do, you know, asterisk, asterisk, it'll italicize it and so on. We do mentions. So you can do like @ as a way for pulling in a recipient on the email thread rather than having to like click some buttons to do that. So that sort of powerful editor where from your keyboard, you can do a lot more than you normally would, I think is something that like Notion inspired us and I think has been really awesome.
Yeah, the keyboard shortcuts are cool because it feels like in product design, there's always that inherent tension of like, how do you make it super simple so that anyone can use it, but also inherently powerful? And keyboard shortcuts, you know, it starts really simple, but if there's 100 keyboard shortcuts and you can learn them all, learn how to combine them, like you have superpowers that you can learn and continue getting better at the product. It's like game design in that sense almost.
Yeah, absolutely. This is why I really like the Markdown shortcuts, because Markdown is inherently intuitive. If you want to put something in bold, right, you put like two asterisks before and two asterisks afterwards. And this is something that if you were in a regular text editor, you might do anyways to add emphasis. If you want to like quote something, like you use the little caret, right, and that'll quote it, which is, again, something that you're kind of used to from email. So a lot of the shorthand that you use there to do these things are things that you're sort of already used to doing in editors anyways, and it just kind of works automatically. So I think that's been a really powerful keyboard thing. The other thing we do with the keyboard is we try as hard as we can not to mess with Gmail shortcuts. So if you come in here used to what Gmail does, you're going to find that generally stuff works exactly the same.
If you were starting from scratch tomorrow, is there anything you would do differently?
Of course. Yes. All startups are like that. I think, well, I'll start with what we did well. And I think what we've done well is we've stayed super close to our users. So we were dogfooding our own product 2 weeks in to the startup. We had external folks on 4 months into the startup, and we have had just a continuous stream of feedback from real users on the product the entire time ever since. And, you know, this week alone, I've probably listened to like 10 user interviews. And in a typical week, I'm always talking to users. And I try to do it in person too. I work out of a WeWork, and I'm always trying to find people there and show them things and get their feedback. So I think that's going well. I think probably the biggest area that we fell down is just the huge scope that we tried to tackle initially. I think we, at the beginning, were thinking, hey, we're going to build a product that's for power users and for personal users, and that does Teams and it does personal email, and it has all this cool Notion stuff built in, and it does task management, and it was just going to be the super product. And don't get me wrong, we still have ambitions to do so much in the long term. But I think it's been pretty clear that we really need to focus on business users right now. We really need to focus on the inbox as a great experience and helping people power through a lot of email. And so we've really kind of narrowed that focus and said, hey, we're here for you as a business user who gets a lot of email, who sends a lot of email, and we need to help you be focused and productive and get things done. And like that's the constraint now.
It's amazing. I ask this question all the time, and I've heard from a couple of people that they wish they got user feedback earlier, which is something you hear all the time. But then I've also heard from people that they wish they found kind of that core product first. Company I just interviewed earlier, CISO Labor, will probably be coming out right around this one does. They're a very specific kind of like SaaS app and labor marketplace for agriculture laborers. And they talk about how they wish they had found their core product first, as opposed to trying to solve every problem for every farm. Like housing is not something they successfully solved. But it feels like you kind of have to go through all those steps to find whatever the core should be.
I agree. And I think, you know, when we were at Firebase, when we came up with the first database product, that was a tough challenge to kind of figure out that first product. But once we had that product going, we got a ton of good data from users on exactly what they wanted next, right? We had this database and everyone's like, well, it's really hard to build an auth system. And we heard that again and again and again. We're like, ah, we should build an auth system. And then we did that and everyone's like, well, it's really hard to host my stuff. And it's like, well, we should build that. And every product after that was like people coming in and being like, well, I really want this thing. We heard that over and over and over again. We built that thing. But that first product, getting that first kind of core use case and that core set of users on and get them really successful, that was really tough. And I think for this product as well, what we've discovered, again, is getting that first set of users to really have like a complete end-to-end solution that like is really working for them and they love, so that you can get that stream of data from happy users where they can kind of guide you, that is always a really tough thing. And it took us, like, we now kind of post-launch, we now have like a good set of users and we're getting a ton of feedback about like where we want to go next, which is nice. But like getting that initial flow to be high enough volume, you really have strong signal, I think is a really tough thing. And a lot of people underestimate it, including us.
Beyond shortwave, in your industry. So your industry is kind of a lot of different things now, but maybe in communications, I guess, is where you probably are. Are there any companies that you think are really interesting that people will be talking about in 12, 24 months?
I'll call a couple out in the space that I think are pretty well known already, but I think Signal is a great product. I think they've really thought hard about how to use how to build a product for free expression on the internet. And I think they have a different approach. I think they've decided that federated infrastructure is not the way to go. They have to have a centralized service, and there are some advantages to that, but I think they've done a really nice job in the execution and like keeping this thing like very narrowly focused. Another one that I really like is Front. So Front, they've gone off in a fairly different direction than us. They're working on email things, but they're very focused on kind of the support use case and like enterprise workflow orchestration on top of email. But you probably saw the Series D announcement that they made today, but they're doing very, very well as a business. And so I think that's been a pretty cool thing to see, just like the market opportunity in the email space. As far as folks that you may not have heard of yet, I'll tell you one of my favorites, which it isn't really in the kind of the written communication space, but it's one that we use. Have you ever used GatherTown?
I have used GatherTown, and I love that product. It's just such a cool take on like the metaverse and virtual work.
We use it as our virtual office. And full disclosure, I'm an investor, but I invested because we tried it as a virtual office way back in the day. Because you know, I was on a party there, and it was really fun. And we tried it out, and the whole team stuck, and they stuck around, and it's now the way our whole company runs. So we're a remote team, and for us, being in the office means like sitting at our desk and gather. And so like our business is run with text goes through shortwave, video and office goes through gather. And like those two tools combined are how we run shortwave.
Can you like explain what gather is for the audience who's probably never heard of it? It kind of looks like a Game Boy Pokemon game. It's like two-dimensional. Yeah. You have a little avatar and you walk around. But then there's like Zoom and audio features built in.
It is. It's like an 8-bit video game where like video chat pops up when you come into proximity with somebody else's character. I think the thing that they've nailed, like you go in here and you're like, these graphics are terrible and it seems like a lot of work. Like if I want to go talk to that person, I have to like walk across a room on this virtual screen. I can't just like press a button. And it seems when you get there, you're like, this is all silly and contrived. But the thing that it does, the thing that's magic about it is it makes it fun to sit in a virtual office. And there are so many other tools that try to give you the same experience where like, you know, it gives you a list of the people and you can click on them and get involved. But like no one wants to keep their camera on so that they can be watched all day. And no one wants to like scan through that list and like see what people's statuses are. Like people want a sense of togetherness. They want a sense of other people they're working and they want to have a little bit of fun. And like Gather has nailed an experience where people come in there and they want to be there because, for example, our designer like made her cat into a little like animated avatar that like sits next to her, like follows her. Like she made this whole sprite. So like she sits at her desk and like Toast, her cat, is like right next to her. And one of our team members turned her desk into a koi pond. There's games in there and they had an escape room a while back, but it's, they've made work fun for remote teams that like otherwise, you know, would be staring at much more like kind of enterprise-y tools.
So my last question for everybody on the show is about vision. Where would you like to see shortwave in 10 or 15 years?
The long-term goal here is to push SMTP forward as a standard. You know, right now we are building a tool to sit on top of Gmail to give you the best possible experience for like triaging and sending emails. And that's going to be the focus for a while, but we don't want to be just a thing that sits on top of Gmail. We don't want to be just an app. We want to be a thing that, you know, if you want to use us as Gmail, great. If you want to use us standalone, great. But you can also have an open source one. We also have an on-premise one. And fundamentally, we want to push a lot of the cool ideas that we've talked about. For example, the type indicators, the presence, the reactions, like all that stuff really should be part of the protocol so that everyone can participate in it. So my hope is, you know, 10 or 15 years from now, you don't have to be on one of these centralized messaging apps to get some of the latest and greatest features. Like it's all built into email, not just us, but everybody.
That's an awesome vision. I would love to see a future where email feels like just a modern piece of software. It's amazing. You were saying 22-year-olds who come into the office, but I'm 27. And even if you're not that young, I mean, just all of the other communication I do, whether it's iMessage or Discord or really anything else, Slack, it feels modern, whereas email feels a lot like a forum from 1995 attached to like a date. So yeah, it's a really cool vision and I love the product so far. I'm going to keep using it. So Andrew, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.